So how can we get more women to run for office? Well, let's not overthink it.
Oftentimes, women of color are not even considered. That is a huge barrier.
Democratic Party Chair Nikita Richards. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Monday, September 28th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with an effort to display more art in public spaces in Bloomington. Eric Stock reports the city council is on board, but some disagree about what art they want in their neighborhood.
Deputy City Manager Billy Tai has acknowledged during a committee of the whole meeting that one's view of art can be deeply personal.
Art can be difficult. It can be subjective. It's you know, what's good and what's not. It depends on who you ask.
That's why the city is proposing a public arts commission that would select what art should go in city parks and on city buildings or along sidewalks and other city property. The commission would include three volunteer appointees from the community along with the members of the City Beautification Committee and Cultural Commission. The seven-member panel would set guidelines and make recommendations to the city council. Tai says that would remove the appearance of politics.
If we're doing this based on a set of pre-established criteria, it eliminates the whole argument that some people will make that you're selecting this because you know this person.
Now comes the subjective part. Councilmember Jen Carrillo, who represents parts of downtown and the west side, called for the city to rotate its commission members to consider different types of art that may reflect a certain neighborhood identity.
Let's be clear here that we aren't creating segregation by actually acknowledging the fact that our city is different for different people in different neighborhoods.
Councilmember Kim Bray, who serves the northeast part of Bloomington, said she prefers a more one-size-fits-all approach.
And let's focus on that commonality rather than tear our community asunder by constantly focusing on those things that bring us into conflict and segregate us and separate us.
There's also a question of funding. Deputy City Manager Billy Tai has suggested the city explore what's called a percent for art fee, where a portion of construction project funding would pay for art that would complement the project.
While we love our streets, while we love our sewers, you know, the building of that, it's hardscape and it's not always pretty, frankly.
Tyus also suggested the city could use funding from parkland dedication fees it collects from developers, but also recommended the city explore private fundraising. The council was scheduled to vote on the Arts Commission tonight. For The Leadoff, I'm Eric Stock.
Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. There were 44 new coronavirus cases reported yesterday in McLean County, but our testing positivity rate fell again, down to 2.6%. That's the lowest it's been since August 17th. Dick Durbin of Illinois concedes that his fellow Senate Democrats can maybe slow down, but ultimately can't stop Judge Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation to the Supreme Court. And the McLean County Republicans held a thank you rally for first responders yesterday at the Corn Crib in Normal. You can see a photo gallery from that event and more at WGLT.org. The McLean County Museum of History's series of community conversations about who has the power next turns to women in politics. I spoke with two of the facilitators of tomorrow evening's virtual event, McLean County Democratic Party Chair Nikita Richards and former Bloomington City Councilmember Diana Howman. Richards says she wanted to be involved in part so that participants could see and hear from someone who looks like them.
I also think it's high time that we have these conversations. For oftentimes, what would take place is, you know, there was these backdoor conversations about how to get involved politically, and you had to know someone, right? And I think now that's just, it's not the case. I think many of us on this platform with the community conversation can say that we either know how to get in touch with a woman who has run for office or who is running, or we know who to contact. And that's important. So awareness is crucial.
Dana Howman, let's bring you into the conversation. You're a former Bloomington City Council member, ran for mayor, county board. Nationally, women are underrepresented in elected office. That's just true in Congress. It's true in many state houses. How about locally? What is your sense of how well we're doing locally in electing women to city council, to school boards, to county government, to township government, those types of things?
We've made good strides since Carol Reitan and Judy Markowitz were mayor of Normal and Bloomington, respectfully, and since Nancy Froelich was the county chair of the county board, but we still have miles to go before we sleep. Today, the Bloomington City Council has 5 women representatives. Normal Council has 3. County has 8 women elected board members. So I think we're much better represented on the county board, especially than when we arrived in Bloomington 26 years ago. But in addition to the school boards and some township supervisors and some of the other areas that you mentioned, Ryan, there's still little diversity being offered, even within gender. So I think we need to grow diversity in general and within our gender more specifically.
Yes, I agree. We have come a lot further than I believe many of us would have expected in this amount of time, right? And I look at the slate of women that are running currently, you know, locally, it's just amazing. But I have to pay attention to the lack of intersectionality that's taken place. You know, when you talk about who has the power to be heard in politics as it relates to women, we're still seeing very little women of color be either encouraged or brought into the fold, not provided with the resources, not even believed that they have what it takes to run for office or even serve in governance. And so we have such a long way to go as it relates to inclusion and understanding who has the power to be heard or served as it relates to women.
How do we get more women to run for office? How do we remove the barriers that have kept them from doing so before?
I think the first thing we need to do is ask them. Oftentimes, women of color are not even considered. That is a huge barrier. And if they are considered, the truth of the matter is that many times they're considered for tokenism. And that's a problem, right? You have to remember, if you are asking these intellectual women who you consider to run for office, you have to trust that they're coming with brains. They're coming with a perspective, right? They're coming with insight and they're gonna add value.
It's certainly important to ask people. Some people don't even, you know, they don't realize they have the qualities or perhaps the abilities to run for office or seek office, but as a political party or as individuals, individual interested citizens, I think we need to be looking for qualified candidates, encouraging them to run, help them get their petition signed, walk the precincts, contribute financially, and support, you know, step up and support the candidates that we feel would best represent us.
Dana Howman, you've got some experience on the campaign trail as well. Did you ever find yourself changing who you were, depending on who you were talking to? If you were, you know, standing in front of a room full of men or a group of women, did you ever find yourself just tweaking the way you phrased things or did things?
Well, I don't believe that I did, but sometimes I'm the last person to see a behavior in myself that's different. And the issues that face the city typically aren't as gender specific. We don't get into childcare, for example, that's would be more of a concern to women. But what the one thing that made me a little uneasy was more than once when I would knock on doors, and this was both in the county board election that I ran, where I was a candidate in the early 2000s, and then as mayor and city council, I had several women say, well, I'll see how my husband wants me to vote. And I'm thinking, in the early 2000s, it was 80 years since we've had the right to vote. And more recently, it was, you know, 95 years since we had the right to vote. And why would you give your husband two votes? So in that case, I probably, when I was presented with that comment, I probably did react a little differently than you know, just chatting informally about what I saw for the city, what I saw for the county.
And Nikita Richards, you are in a newish role as a chair of the McLean County Democratic Party. Have there been times where you have felt treated differently in that role because you're a woman?
I find that as a woman in this position, and in other similar positions as well of leadership that I've held, that our ability to lead, or either our know-how of the particular seat or position and responsibilities, is often second guessed. And I don't want to speak for Diana, but I know for myself, that has been the case more often than not, questioning whether or not a decision that I'm making is in fact based upon facts and precedent versus trusting the decisions that I'm making, even when I'm providing insight, you know, and providing them with guidance.
Nikita Richards and Diana Howman are facilitators for tomorrow's Community and Conflict Conversation about Women in Politics, hosted by the McLean County Museum of History. That is it for today. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute at WGLT.org.